Blog Talk Radio. All right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk on this Wednesday night, edition. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. And we'd like to welcome everybody who's tuned in tonight. And forgive the lateness. Usually there would have been a blog talk in the morning. There's certain events that didn't allow that to happen. As far as Tuesday, there's supposed to be a show on Tuesday. But the brother, Zazapa, was called away to the plantation. He had to go to work that day. So what we're trying to do again is catch up with tonight, being this Wednesday night, episode and try to, we had a council. I'm going to just kind of slow down a little bit. We had a council amongst ourselves. And it was myself, the brother Yanawathan, the brother Ahmad, the brother Badabad. And it was very enlightening. And one thing that it was bringing out, and we're definitely going to put this class together, but the way it was a spontaneous type of class and council where we was going over the importance, in a nutshell, the importance of keeping your word and how the Most High really, really does look at that when you make a vow to the Most High that you're going to do something, especially for his word, especially towards his name, you are duty-bound, honor-bound. You are duty-bound to keep your word. Regardless of whatever circumstances might come into play, you're still honor-bound to keep your word, to keep your vow. And that was one thing that was really striking us in this council. And again, that class, I'm definitely putting the class together, and it's going to be more than one class for sure. But the importance of, if you say you can do something for the Most High, matter of fact, I have the brother Yanawath on here, I'm asking him to give me Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha chapter 2 and verse 1. That when you make a vow to the Most High, say you can do something for the Most High, you are honor bound to keep your word. And just like I say, that nutshell, as we get ready to read the scripture here, it was a reminder. It really was a reminder how important it is to keep blogs are going, how important it is to get, maintain, and keep a school going here in Albuquerque, to keep and maintain the desire or the words to open up more schools in Babylon, to lead more people back to Yahushua, back to Christ, to lead more people back to salvation. That there was some serious vows that were made for myself over 30 years ago. Because of circumstances, because of afflictions, tribulations, trials that have came up, my zeal, my enthusiasm to uphold those vows, to uphold those words, has weakened, has fell off. And like a reminder, as I'm just going to quote it, Revelation chapter 2, Christ made the perfect reminder that to one of the churches that he found the people in the church, they were still patient. They endured a lot. They tested a lot of people to see if they were really apostles, find them to be liars, and that they hate a lot of evil works. But he said, the one thing I have against you is that you left your first love. That the first love that you committed to, the first work that we committed to, we fell off of that. So that, okay, and you can prove it when you read the scripture. He says you left your first love, and he says repent and do the first works. So that first love that we had for this truth, for this knowledge, and the things that we said, and the things that were said in a pure heart, in sincerity. Even to the point of, the quote that JFK made popular, ask not what you can do for your country, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what can you do for your country, that the spirit that was prevalent was What can I do to help this truth? It wasn't coming into this truth looking for a reward. It wasn't coming into this truth, into this work, or into this knowledge, looking for a handout, a reward. It was, if this it was acknowledged that this is the truth. It's been here for ages and for generations. Now, what can I do to help promote it? And over the years, that those lines get blurry. Those lines get fuddled, muddled. And as we were going into a little bit tonight, with the topic about being about war, that because of debt, because of afflictions, because of inconvenience, the pure heart that a person comes in with and dedicate themselves to the Most High and to the work and the Christ, what have you, that becomes muddied. That becomes blurred. And again, I'm going to go to the whole class. We never put that class together, so I don't want to veer too far away from what we'll go into tonight. But I'm asking, I was going to read that for me. Ecclesiastes, you're going to read loud. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Ecclesiastes, if thou comest to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
And from when we first, for many of us, when we first came into this knowledge and seeing that this knowledge was the truth, and we acknowledged that what we were being taught was the truth, and that a lot of things that we followed was lies. A lot of things that we followed was tradition of men. A lot of things that we followed was not of the Bible. It was not of Christ. And there were certain vows and actions that were made that I'm going to, this work is what it's about. You know, I'm going to support this work. I want to become a teacher in this work. I want to be a helper in this work. Whatever it might have been, that mentality was adopted. And here the scripture is warning us that when you come to serve the Lord, you got to prepare yourself for temptation. Now, what's going to get you to stop that vow that was made, those words that were said, that you want to be about this work, you want to help this work? It had nothing to do with men. It had nothing to do with people. It had nothing to do with the faces that were there. It was a conversation between you and the Father, that you acknowledge, man, this is the truth. You acknowledge that you are now learning the Bible, actually learning the Bible. And again, it had nothing to do with men. It had nothing to do with the person that might have been teaching you, as much as it was about the scriptures, as much as it was about, wow, this is what the Bible is actually saying. And it had nothing to do with the person that the Most High happened to use at that time to reveal this knowledge to you, to reveal this light to you. It had nothing to do with the person. But over years, because of, and Christ told us that too. Wow, matter of fact, I do need that scripture. I didn't want to jump, but I guess we're going to go here. I guess we're here. Luke 17 and 1. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1.
Chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come.
And this is what Christ told his students. Again, we understand that the word disciple means student. Christ told his students that it's impossible to be his student and you're not going to be offended. Impossible. And many of us, it said the scripture does tell us that we do err not knowing the scriptures. We do err and not know the scriptures or the power of the Most High. That this scripture, I mean, Luke 17 and 1 is here for a reason. He said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. And many of us, we get offended as we're in this work. And because our studying is not rooted enough, because we tend to just look at men and follow men, but not really study enough for ourselves, that when these offenses arise, we start to hold grudges towards men. We start to hold grudges towards people for some of the things that we're having to go through, for some of the things that we're forced to undergo. Not realizing or understanding that if we said we're coming to serve Christ, we're supposed to prepare ourselves for temptation. That we're supposed to prepare ourselves that there's going to be offenses. That being a student of Christ, not a student of religion, not a student of theology, but an actual student of Christ, and you're becoming he's becoming your mentor. That if you're following Christ in the true essence of the word being a Christian, that if you're following Christ, that means you're following Christ. Was Christ offended? Was Christ threatened? Was Christ made poor? Was Christ's reputation thrown in the dirt? Was Christ talked about? Cheated? Was Christ betrayed? Well, to answer all those questions is yes. Those things that happen to Christ. Well, so if you're following Christ, then a lot of people don't understand what you said you're following. You're going to follow Christ in all these things. And if you're his student, he's going to show you how to get through these things. But many of us, we because offenses come, because of a lack of understanding of the word, we let the offenses to overtake us. And now our word, our vows, that we're going to be in this work and we're going to dedicate to this work. We're going to do whatever it takes to please Christ and the Most High. That now that gets challenged and we're like, no, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to let another person put me in this situation. Now all of a sudden it becomes about wisdom. Then now I'm going to use wisdom. But again, a person still forgets. When you read the Bible, there's the wisdom of the world and there's wisdom of Christ. So a lot of us get it caught up into this thing about I'm using wisdom now. Now I'm going to use wisdom. And the question is, whose wisdom are you using? Everybody, hold on 1 second, please. Hello, 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 hello. Oh, my goodness. I wonder how long it's been dead. We'll find out. I'll find out after the show. Goodness. All right, well, I'm not sure what the last thing we actually got recorded in. For what might be broadcasting, it was showing that we were broadcasting, as I'm looking at the switchboard. But then we just did a mic check to see where we were at and couldn't be heard. So I don't know how long we've been doing it, how long it's been going that way, or what have you. I want to laugh, but we're gonna continue. War, what is it good for? 1 Thessalonians 5:1.
1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
All right, so it says that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I mean, it's going to catch a lot of people unprepared. Just like what's going on right now with who saw the gas prices or this war with Ukraine, this supposed war conflict going on with Ukraine. Who saw that this is going to lead towards it's about to go to? Even towards that right now, again, they were saying that gas prices just in one day rose seven cents in one day. And it's going to get worse. Even Joe Biden, when he interviewed him, like getting off a plane today. Where did he get off at? I forget. But as he got off a plane today, they were asking about the gas prices, and he straight up said, they're going to go higher. They said, get used to it. They're going to go higher. This is the President Joe Biden said, as in reference to the rising gas prices. drive by your nearest Costco. Drive by your nearest Sam's Club and look at the lines of cars trying to fuel, trying to find the best price they possibly can nationwide.
It's totally opposite of what happened 20, 30 years, 20 years ago when the Gulf War and stuff, when Bush was in the office and stuff like that. What he did is he opened up the reserves, the fuel reserves and stuff like that, so the prices wouldn't fluctuate and stuff like that. This is an expensive government. I don't give a care. I don't care. It's all about what we're planning to do. You know, if the price is going to go up, so what? You know, get used to it, you know.
Again, even when we first started the our Blog Talk series 967 shows ago, with the oil league in the Gulf, the BP oil spill, that there was so much oil being pumped out during that time. Barack Obama happened to be the president, that as gas prices rose to almost $5 a gallon back then, he opened up the reserves and brought the gas prices back down. But this thing about go ahead and needing to set things up for this new world order, they're going for it now. And without giving it away, and I wish I knew how much time had elapsed for dead space. I feel dumb right now. I feel I'm upset right now, disappointed, but I'm gonna keep going. That there were 10 plagues. You can turn it down. There were 10 plagues that hit Egypt. And the purpose of each plague was to drive Israel to come closer together. We go back and study Egypt, study the plagues that hit Egypt. The purpose of each plague was to drive the Israelites closer together. At the same time, it's funny how the dynamic was taking place. Because the cost of living was getting so high, living in Egypt, and because government aid had been cut off while living in Egypt, it tells you how we were forced to go all over Egypt to try and find work. And the purpose that the Pharaoh had came up with at that time, go back and read, was to make us not think about our salvation, to make us think about how we're going to eat, how we're going to be taken care of, how am I going to survive, how's my family going to live. Go back and read it. That's what the whole purpose was about, that when Moses first came and told Pharaoh, let my people go, that they might serve me as a message from the Lord God to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh said, if y'all have time to think about serving your God, you're not busy enough. You're too idle. So we got to come up with a way to make you get your mind off of serving your God and thinking about your survival. Think about how you're going to make it. And that's when they cut off the government assistance for that time. And it tells you it drove the Israelites over all Egypt trying to find work. It says like for mud or what have you, but it was to try and find work. That we might be able to keep up with the cost of living. And that plan was devised so we would not think about the work we need to do to serve our God. It was just about how can I survive Egypt? How can we as individuals survive Egypt? So you had that dynamic going, as well as the plagues that were hitting Egypt. And with each of these plagues, it was making the Israelites come closer together in Goshen. Stop spreading yourself out thin. Stop going way over here. Stop going way over there. Come to Goshen. And as each of the plagues kept hitting, and we kept gathering in Goshen, there was a safety for us in Goshen. That as the plagues kept hitting, if you weren't in Goshen, if you were Israelite, not in Goshen, or gathered with other Israelites, the plagues that hit Egypt hit you. As Israelites tried to keep living the Egyptian lifestyle, the Egyptian citizenship, the Egyptian rights and the Egyptian liberties and the Egyptian justice system, then you were subject to those plagues. You were subject to be touched by what the Lord was doing. And again, that was being used to have all Israel gathered together. we happened to be at that time in the land of Goshen for our safety. But now we know that Israel's been scattered to the four corners of the earth, not just here in Babylon, America, but to the four corners of the earth. But our safety still resides in, are we doing God's righteousness? Are we doing the things that's right in God's mind, but not and not just right in our own minds? Are we gathering together? Are we actually gathering together? Or is our minds just on survival? Remember, things written aforetime written for what? It's written for our learning. The Most High requires that which is past. Is there anything new under the sun? So, verse 2 again, sir.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
And for those not watching, not studying, that your mind is becoming subverted. Your mind is becoming distracted. A lot of these things that are taking place are going to come as a thief in the night. They're going to catch you by surprise. By surprise. Because our minds are not thinking on God's righteousness. We're thinking about what's right about me surviving, my family surviving. We're getting desperate. So now that's what the mentality is becoming. And now the mentality of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. That's not the mindset. It's we're going through these trials, tribulations of this time. We're going through this. How am I going to be taken care of? How is my family going to be taken care of? Again, and the desperate moves that people are going to be making that have nothing to do with God's righteousness. So it says, we're supposed to know that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, which is not supposed to catch us by surprise. But it will catch us by surprise if you're not involved with prophecies. If your mind is not caught up in God's prophecies about what's taking place, you'll be worried about America. You'll be mad at Russia and Putin for all the American propaganda that there's about to be nuclear war. You'll be so caught up and mad and angry at the price of gas, whatever, that you forget about this was about God's righteousness. And here's some of the things I want to get into. Obviously, there's going to be a second part to this class. From there, let's go to read verse 3, and then we're going to get... Let me get that. Go ahead and get that, and then I'll finish.
Verse 7, chapter 5, and verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them.
Right. It says, when they shall say peace and safety. And everybody was looking at, we're coming out of COVID. We had Omicron. But now we're about to return to life as normal. That now they're lifting the mask mandates. It's about to be lifted across the world, across America, and everybody's not being vaccinated. Things are about to return back to normal. The movie theater's opening back up. We're about to return back to life as we know it. And everybody's starting to get this feeling of safety and comfort. The income tax is about to come in. We're about to go ahead. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All of a sudden, this Russia thing pops off. Now the gas prices and food and everything is about to hit the fan. It's about to hit the roof. And everybody again is getting ready to go into this panic. Is getting ready to go into desperate measures for their own survival. From there, let's go to Joel. And in Old Testament, Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's go. Joel chapter 3 verse 9. And we're also going to get Luke 12:51.
Joel chapter 3 verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles.
And this one, again, Joel's been here for, I need to go research when the prophet Joel lived. But from when he lived and prophesied this right here, this prophecy's been in the Bible. Go and proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, among the nations. What?
Prepare war.
Prepare for war. Get ready for war. But we're looking for, again, the next Super Bowl champs. We're looking again for just for things to return back to normal, so I can go back to just going to work, paying my bills, and life going back to what I know is normal. But the Most High Ben said, this among the nations, prepare for war. Get ready for war. Read on.
Wake up the mighty men.
Amongst the nations. Go ahead.
Let all the men of war draw near.
Let all the men of war draw near among all the nations. So who are the nations? Chinese, get ready. Japanese, get ready. American, get ready. Arabs, get ready. East Indians, get ready. It's time for war. This is what everybody should be have. If we were studying and let the root of God enter into us, instead of looking for more comfort, instead of looking for more ease, we should be knowing what time we're living in. We're supposed to be preparing ourselves for war, preparing ourselves for the ultimate war between good and evil, the ultimate war of Christ, Yahweh Shai, as returning back to this earth and establishing true righteousness back in this earth. We're supposed to have been getting ready for war, or we need to start getting ready for war. If we haven't been, it's not too late. Finish that verse.
Now,
again, let's not forget 1 Corinthians 10 and 3, or Ephesians 6 and 10, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Let me make sure I throw that out there before I run out of time and everybody runs hog wild now into what you've seen on TV that, well, to get ready for war means we need to go get weapons. To get ready for war, we need to arm ourselves. That is not what God's talking about. That is not what he's talking about. For Hebrew Israelites, that is not what he's talking about. That's what the nation need to do. They need to find their strength. Get more nukes. Get more airplanes. More sonic blasters. More robot dogs. More Terminator vehicles or robots or whatever. More infrared vision, Google vision, whatever. They need to go do that. And how the nations get ready for their war. But for Hebrew Israelites, we're supposed to get ready for the war the way we're supposed to fight it. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Are you getting your spirit right? Hello? Are you getting your spirit right as a Hebrew Israelite? Because the nations, I was reading a YouTube article, y'all, and everybody can look this up. Not right now, but when we finish. A lot of Nazi Germany's leadership settled in the Ukraine. So the racist militia groups, there are so many white racist militia groups in Ukraine, it's ridiculous. So as you're looking at all the news and seeing there's an orphanage that got bombed, there's a mother who was walking, a refugee and clutching her baby. The people of Ukraine, those are Nazis in Ukraine. They got a flag and everything. Very, very much believers in Hitler and what he had going on. And go look it up if you don't believe me. Go look it up if you don't believe me. The nations are preparing for war. The one nation that's not preparing for war are Hebrew Israelites. And again, I'm not saying because Hebrew Israelites ain't collecting guns. A lot of Hebrew Israelites are collecting guns and ammo and weapons, trying to be like white people. Trying to be like what you see white people using for war. You're missing the point. You are missing the point. So I'm sorry, finish that verse.
Your proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare a war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up.
Get ready. The nations, and you see the nations are getting ready. They've got their armies. The million man army in China. The 2 million man army down here in East India. You see them getting ready. You see them preparing, but what you don't see are Israelites preparing spiritually for this warfare. What do Israelites need to do to get their God on their side for this World War III? From there, let's get Luke 12:51 and then Romans 13:11.
Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth.
And this is Christ speaking now. That as we're being lulled and have been lulled into looking for peace, comfort, convenience, ease, because I'm a Hebrew Israelite, I'm in the truth. I just want all my bills paid. I just want to be able to go out, come home. I like to be able to go to a store. If I want to buy something, be able to buy it and not have any problems. Just have all my debt paid and have good credit. That is the mentality of a lot of Hebrew Israelites now. I've made it because I've reached this financial status. And I'm mad and upset if I don't have this. I have a grudge if I don't have this. And you made me go through this, and you had me do this, and you this happened. And we're missing the point. We're missing what this book is for the time we're living in. We are missing the point. So Christ is telling you, suppose ye that he's come for peace, that now you just might have peace and how you just think peace is. Because with different people, peace might be different things. I just want my bills paid so I can be at peace. I don't want this discomfort of my bills ain't paid. I want the peace of I'm a young man. I just want a woman. I just want that peace. I'm a young man. I just want a car. If I just have a car, then I'll be at peace. I'll be able to get around, do what I want to do, see what I want to see. If I want to live in my car, drive my car, do whatever. With gas prices going crazy, I almost feel sorry for somebody who just bought a brand new car. I almost feel sorry for anybody who just bought a brand new car. Because now not only are you going to have that car note, plus insurance, gas prices are about to, if they add another, if you're paying $8 per gallon, where the hell are you going to drive the car at? For all the news sources and news channels, my parents are into the news big time. They're saying, make sure now when you do little things to save gas, they ain't mentioned carpooling yet, but we know that's coming. But it says, if you're going to go out, don't just go to one store to make one run. Go out and make multiple runs so that you can get the car parked and leave it parked as long as possible. Don't just run out for milk. If you're going to run out for milk, meat, if it's dry cleaning, which that's going to come to an end. You better make multiple runs at once to try and save as much gas as possible. Carpooling, you better make up with the people at your work. You better make up with them so y'all can get back and forth to work instead of this thing of you just have to be an individual. Like an American, better get that out your mind. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. You don't have to. Luke 12:51. One more time, please.
Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth.
So maybe you think Christ came to make sure you have peace on this earth. Read.
I tell you, nay.
Christ said, I'm telling you, no. So why you continue to push for it? When he's telling you, I'm telling you no. Read.
But rather division.
Are we letting the words of God, the words of Christ, take root in our spirits? Or do I still have such an expectation of what I think of what it means to be in the truth, of what I think it means to have God on my side, of what I think to have Christ on my side, that these words are not sinking in? The words of Christ are to no avail because I'm stuck on what I'm looking at. This war about what's about to take place. Again, there were 10 plagues in Egypt. I'm going to keep repeating that in my classes. And the purpose of those plagues was to have Israel come closer together. Romans 13:11.
Romans 13:11.
And then Ecclesiastes 3:1.
And that knowing the time, that now it is the time to awake out of sleep.
That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. But as we as Hebrew Israelites, do we really know what time it is? Are we really aware of God's time? Wake up. Go ahead.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
So for all this taking place, is letting us know that our salvation is getting close. Our salvation is nearer. So again, what does that mean, that our salvation is getting nearer? Remember, that this got to be World War III. There's got to be a lot of bloodshed. There's got to be a lot of people dying before Christ actually get here. This got to, he says, we have no more power. When you see it that we have no more power, then he's going to appear. Right now, we got credit. We got guns. We got jobs. We're entrepreneurs. We got business. We got relationships. We got rom-coms. We got every comfort you can think about right now. All this is going to be smashed. All this is going to have to be smashed before Christ comes, so we appreciate Christ coming. Right now, Hebrew Israelites, we're not trying to appreciate his coming. We still think Christ coming means he's going to save my credit. We still think Christ coming, he's going to save my big screen TV. He's going to save my car note. He's going to save my insurance. That's what we're still looking at Christ coming to do. Not save the nation, destroy this system, and bring us back to him, and we become his servants. We're looking for him to come and make things comfort for us in this system. And that's Christ. That's the Most High. That's the Spirit. Was that it? Ecclesiastes, in the Bible, 3:1. And then Luke 21:34.
And then we're going to jump down to verse 8.
If we understand how God's putting things together, there's a time for everything. There's a time and place for everything. Go ahead.
Jumping down to 8.
Yep. There's a time to love. Go ahead. There's a time to hate. Read. And there is a time of war. Go ahead. And a time of peace. We better understand what time we're living in. We better understand what times we're living in and what is it going to take for the salvation of the nation of Israel. What are we going to go through? Before we get Luke 21, let's get Romans 14:22. Acts 14:21. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Acts 14:21. I'm sorry. Forgive me, y'all. Again, I gotta get my study back up big time.
Acts 14:21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch.
Right.
Confirming the souls of the disciples.
Listen up, y'all. To confirm the souls of, how do you know you're really a disciple? But they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, the souls, the spirits of the disciples. Go ahead.
And exhorting them to continue in the faith.
Read.
That we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
The disciples, the true disciples, are going to have to go through much tribulation in order to enter the kingdom. Before salvation, in order to receive God's salvation. This thing that is supposed to be easy, a comfort, a convenience, we let these things creep into our minds, creep into our spirits, to where now any discomfort, any affliction, the slightest inconvenience, and we're ready to throw it all, give it all up. We're ready to throw it all away. And I'm speaking personally for myself. I'm ready to throw it, like, no. I've suffered enough. I've been going through this long enough. When am I going to get mine? Forgetting these scriptures here. And my zeal and my dedication and my duty. And making sure Blog Talk goes on every day. A school running and being established. I've let that fade. I mean, a school that's growing. To where when I made a vow that every week there was going to be a new person in class. And I fell off of that because of tribulations, because of distresses. That's the next verse we're getting to. As we have the 60 seconds, let's go and get the last scripture. Luke 21:34.
Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting.
I might have to look that word up. Surfeit. So again, this is another warning from Yahweh Shah, from Christ himself. He said, take heed. I mean, be warned, but look out. Be warned that this is a possibility that very well could happen if we're not careful. If we're not really rooted in these scriptures, that our hearts, so our minds get overcharged with surfeiting. Yeah, definition for surfeit.
Overabundant supply.
That we take heed to yourselves, that your heart, your mind, did not become overcome with an
overabundant supply.
An overabundant supply. I never have enough. I never have enough. I don't have it. Or this can be taken two ways. The definition. Because I have so much, I got nothing to worry about. My bills are paid. I've got this in the bank. I'm straight. I don't need to teach, worry about this, worry about that, because obviously the Most High is with me. Why do I got to worry about those things? Can't you see the Most High is with me? Remember it says in Timothy, it says that those that will be rich will fall into diverse temptations, thinking that gain is godliness. And remember what it said about the rich man, Lazarus, that he built himself up. Now think about when the Most High was going to take him, bring him home, like, cool. And for the charity he was supposed to display, not Lazarus, the rich man, for the work he was supposed to be doing, he was cut off to make sure he was straight, make sure that just his family was good. He died. As we asked Abraham, to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers. That if they don't change, they're coming to hell. They're coming to a place of torment. And Abraham told him what? If they have the scriptures, they won't get it. Even if somebody came back from the dead, they still ain't going to get it. So you can be taken as, I've got so much. Yeah, obviously the Most High blessed me with this. Why do I got to be worried about gathering together? Why? Since I stopped gathering together, look how much I've came up. Look how much I've prospered since I left that organization, left that way of doing things. Look how well I'm doing. Can't you see God's with me? Christ said, be warned, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And again, definition for surfeiting, one more time.
An overabundant supply.
You have an overabundant supply. You have excess. You're living good. Be careful that you don't fall into a trap. Because those that will be rich fall into many diverse and hurtful lusts. Thinking that that's where Christ is at. Thinking that's how you know the Most High is with me. I hope you come back and reread these scriptures.
Overindulge.
Be careful that you start to overindulge in overindulge. I'm going to leave it at that. I was seeing on the news today that New Mexico is about to go, if it's not already, that recreational weed is about to become legalized. And the only problem that these smoke shops are running into is that they're only allowing so many smoke shops the permit or the license or whatever it might be, that if they're too close to one another, they didn't say what the distance between shops had to be, but if they're too close, if one has it, they're not allowing this one over here to operate with that same liberty. And that once you get shut down and denied, they're saying the legislation is, once you get shut down once, you can't, like, reapply. And now they're fighting to reapply. So now, since they're going to make marijuana legal here, just, you know, on a personal note, here more closer to home, they're about to make recreational marijuana legal here in New Mexico. Don't let your mind get overcharged. With excess, reading on, where we at, description?
Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness.
And drunkenness. What do you become influenced by? You let your mind get influenced by every single thing out here. Go ahead.
And cares of this life.
And cares of this life. How you're living this life. Be careful, because the traps are out here. They have you thinking about, I'm such and such years old, and I got nothing to show for it. I've been doing this knowledge, I've been doing this truth, I've been doing this for all this time, and I got nothing to show for it. Maybe I've been wrong. Maybe I need to start thinking about myself. Maybe I need to be more concerned with my family's prosperity. I said, be careful. Was that it?
Unaware.
And now that day, these days are going to hit us unawares. Ain't ready for it. Because you don't let your mind get twisted. So with that, I do want to thank the brothers, Yonathan and Ahmad, for joining me this evening. And I'm going to go back and listen to the show. I hope we didn't have an hour of dead space. But if we do, we did. I got to be on top of my game anyway. So with that, thank everybody for tuning in. Again, this Sunday, March 14th, or 13th, whatever Sunday is. What day is Sunday?
Wednesday, 9th, 11th, 12th. 13th is Saturday, Sunday.
So Sunday the 14th at sunset, we will be beginning. It's the beginning of the celebration of Purim. That's a 2-day celebration. Sunday 13th. Sunday the 13th and Monday are the 2 days of Purim. Sunday, Monday. And again, April 17th is Passover. We will be getting together with the families in Houston to observe the Passover dinner. So with that, again, thank everybody. And with that, my name is Mashaba. We would like to thank everybody for tuning in. And with that, we're going to say shalom.